Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We are blessed and so thankful that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, if you would, please bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious God, we humbly bow before you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this day that you have blessed us with, the opportunity to gather together to praise your holy name, to sing exaltations unto you. And so, Father, we invite your Holy Spirit here to move amongst us, to prepare our hearts and to challenge our minds, that you might place our feet into action, that above all, your name would be magnified, your name would be glorified, your name would be uplifted and praised, not just here this morning, but throughout each and every day of our life. We commit this service into your care, and we bless you, and we praise you, and honor you. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless, the holy name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here today. To go out in the world and we let our little light shine, let us remember to stand on the promises that God's given us. Let's have that courage and look forward to Him.
Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let His praise let His reign. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. By the living word of God, I shall prevail.
we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to stand on those promises, Lord. Father, allow us to have that strength and that courage, because we live in a cruel world, Lord, that tries to bring us down, that tries to make us feel as if we're nothing, Lord. Allow us to remember that we don't belong in this world, for we need to be a light into this world. And Father, let us step out with courage, because Father, you are a great and awesome God, and there isn't anybody that can't do everything for us, Lord. So let us give that to you, how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The splendor of the King. He's clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. In age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, the Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great. How great is our God. Oh, his name's above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and I will see how great is our God. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And I will see how great is our God. As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing up here today, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of each one of us, Lord. Even when we have days where we feel like we're being pushed down, this world beats us down, remember that You are in our lives, Lord. Allow us to stand up and have that courage, shake it off, Lord, and be able to know that we need to be a light into this world. We need to be able to be strong and have courage. Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. And we ask a special blessing over each and every one of us and those that couldn't be here, Lord. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Friends, truly God is great. Amen?
Amen.
Just want to just highlight a couple brief announcements before we continue this time of worship here this morning. On the back of your bulletin, we're doing the school supplies drive once again. And, you know, if you would like to be part of that, you can look at the lists that are on the table in the fellowship hall and go to the dollar store or CVS, Walgreens, any Walmart, any store like that. Bring in those items and bring them and place them in the bin. Also, we will be starting up a membership class here pretty quickly in the next several weeks. And if you are here and you would like to, you know, inquire about becoming a member here at Trinity, we already have several individuals that have expressed that interest. And so please see me over the next several weeks. We would love to get you plugged in that way as well. If you are here today and you are visiting, please fill out the visitor's welcome card. We would love to connect with you, and I promise you we will not send you anything that would be like, hey, what are you sending me that for? We will just send you things to keep you up to date, but we would love to connect with you. And if you are visiting here, please fill that out, place it in the offering plate, so that way we can get to know you and we can continue to minister to you as well. So at this time, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. Yep, the lay speaker training, I believe that's coming up here in September. Okay, all right. So if you're interested in taking classes and learn more, you can see Ray or see myself, and we can give you the further information. As I mentioned, junior worship grades kindergarten through fifth grade are dismissed. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. Let us now turn our attention and listen to a reading from God's Word.
Today's reading will be found in the book of Matthew, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 16. You can find this on page 1501 if you care to join us reading. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger for and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of God. May we all be blessed. If the ushers will now come forward for the offering.
are forsaken. I'm accepted. You are condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. You
morning. We're continuing our series titled Called, and the message's point this morning is that God wants you and me to magnify his name. An ancient Greek myth tells of a goddess who came to earth unseen, but whose presence was always known by the blessing she left behind in her pathway. The trees that had been burned by forest fires, they sprouted new leaves, and violets sprang up in her footprints. As she passed a stagnant pool, its water became fresh, and parched fields turned green as she walked through them. Hills and valleys blossomed with new life, and beauty wherever she went was. Another Greek story tells of a princess that was sent as a present to a king. She was as beautiful as Aphrodite, and her breath was as sweet as perfume. But she carried with her the disease of death and decay. From infancy, she had fed on nothing but poison and became so permeated with it that she poisoned the very atmosphere around her. Her breath would kill a swarm of insects. She would pick a flower and it would wither. A bird flying too close would fall dead at her feet. The late Andrew Murray, he lived an exceptionally holy life, and among those on whom his influence was the greatest were his children and grandchildren. Five of his six sons became ministers of the gospel, and four of his daughters became ministers' wives. 10 grandsons became ministers, and 13 grandchildren became missionaries. Woodrow Wilson told the story of being in a barber shop one time, and he states, quote, "I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come in quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least well spoken, showed that he had a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I had left that place as I should have left a place of worship. Many years ago, Elihu Burritt wrote, quote, "No human being can come into this world without increasing or diminishing the sum total of human happiness, not only of the present, but of every subsequent age of humanity. No one can detach himself from this connection. There is no sequestered spot in the universe, no dark niche along the disk of non-existence to which he can retreat from his relations with others, where he can withdraw the influence of his existence upon the moral destiny of the world. Everywhere, everybody's presence or absence will be felt, friends." And Burritt goes on, and he says, "Everywhere they will have companions who will be better or worse because of them. It is an old saying and one of the fearful and fathomless statements of import that we are forming characters for eternity." Forming characters, he questions, whose? Our own or others? And then he exclaims, both. And in that momentous fact lies the risk and responsibility of our existence. Who is sufficient for the thought? Thousands of my fellow beings will yearly enter eternity with character differing from those they would have carried there had I never lived. The sunlight of that world will reveal my finer finger marks in their primary formations and in their successive strata of thought and life. What we're talking about this morning, friends, is influence. We all have an influence in our world in ways that either are good or bad, and we all have a sphere of influence. We carry that influence sometimes in our back pocket and act as if we can't influence anyone. And just so we understand, let's define what influence is, and let's be clear of what influence is. Influence is defined as the capacity or power of persons or things to be a compelling force or to produce effects on the actions, behavior, opinions of others. It's also defined as the action or process of producing an effect on the actions, behavior, opinions of other people. What's more striking is that not only do we have a sphere of influence, but we have all been called by Jesus to influence the world in which we live. Every single one of us, we have been called to influence the world in which we live. I want us all to hear that. That Jesus calls you and me to influence the world in which we live. Let's listen to the words of Jesus. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You see, friends, light influences its surroundings in a positive manner. And let me explain. When there is darkness all around and a light is turned on, it expels the darkness to reveal all that is in the area of influence of that light. This is positive since it brings forth a newness that previously was not known. And so why does Jesus call his followers, which includes you and me, the light of the world? Friends, it's because God wants you and me to magnify his name. And I want to just break this down and do something a little bit different here. And no, we're not trying to put Bay and Sons out of business here, okay? I'll just make that very clear. This is just a prop to help illustrate exactly the main point that Jesus was talking about. If we could go to the first slide. God wants you to magnify his name. He desperately wants that. Now, to magnify something is to exalt it. It's to lift it up. It's to bring glory to it. It's to raise it up to a level that it previously was not raised in that realm. And so Jesus, he basically, after he is teaching his disciples and he's teaching all the crowds sitting on the side of a hillside, he looks to them and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid." I want to be clear that this is God's heart. But you nor I can magnify God if we are not a follower of Christ. And I want to make that very clear, because nor can we imitate or manufacture what God has done in our lives at the point of salvation. You see, the lamps are all dim right now. And I want you to understand that the lamps are all different shapes and different sizes, and they all have different purposes. And that's representative of you and me. No two people are made the same. No two people have the same distinct purpose. No two people have the same shape, nor do they have the place in the home. No two lamps are set in the same place. Their purpose is the same. It's to magnify, to glorify God. But I want you to notice that they're all dim. And that's exactly what people are before they come to the point of salvation. They are dim. Their light is not shining. And then when someone gives their heart and their mind to Jesus, and they say, I ask you for my forgiveness of my mistakes, God grants that forgiveness, and the light comes on. The light is lit. That's at the point of salvation. This may be simple, but it's very profound, because that light affects the whole area. And then another person says, hey, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Christ. And that light is lit. Now, we can say, okay, yeah, what's the big deal? The big deal is that God's purpose for you and to me is to magnify his holy name. Now, how do we do that? How does God want us to do that? The first thing that we need to understand is that we don't manufacture that light. And we need to grasp the fact that we reflect the light of Christ. And if we can go on to the next slide, please. That God wants you and me to reflect the light of the world. John 8, verse 12, Jesus said to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The scriptures say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. I've talked to numerous individuals who are outside of a relationship with Christ, and I'm going to tell you that what you see in their eyes is just an emptiness. It's something that, it's a point of despair, a point of hopelessness, a point of empty. There is no life. There is nothing inside of them, and you can see it, friends. I don't know. Maybe you've never looked in somebody's eyes that closely, and maybe you've never even wanted to. But I challenge you to look. The eyes are the window to the soul. And then you look at somebody who has given their life, their mind, their heart, and soul to Jesus Christ, and the light has been lit in their soul, and you can see a sparkle. If they're walking in tune with the Holy Spirit, if they're walking with Christ in their life, you can see a sparkle in their life. You can even see it on the TV with some of these Olympians that have, you know, basically unashamedly given their lives to Jesus and used their platform as a witness. You can see when the interviewers are interviewing them. You can see the sparkle in their eye. Because you cannot manufacture this. This only happens at the point of salvation. And friends, if you're here today and you've never given your heart, mind, and soul to Jesus, I implore you to do it today. Give your mind, give your heart, give your life to Christ, because you will never affect the world outside of a relationship with Jesus. It won't happen, it can't happen. And then we scratch our heads and we wonder why the world is in such a sad state that it is today. And maybe it's because of this reason, because the churches are filled with individuals that claim to have Christ in their life, and maybe they're not living so. Maybe they don't have that relationship. Maybe they've gone to, you know, church their whole lives, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, how many ever years, and maybe their relationship with Jesus just isn't there. I've talked with individuals who thought they were in the family of God. They've come to church for 20-plus years, and that light in their soul has never been lit. Because you nor I are the source to that light, nor can we be the source. You see, the moon at night, it reflects the sun's light. And so what Jesus is saying to you and to me, he spoke to them saying that he is the light. He is the source, friends. He is the source. There's an extension cord on the back that these lamps are plugged into. Jesus is that extension cord because he is God. He is the source of that energy. God is the source of that light. And he continues and he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, our challenge and our call, our purpose is to reflect the sun, S-O-N's light. You see, God is called the light of the world. Are you aware that in heaven there won't be any light? There won't be any sun? There won't be any moon? Because God himself will radiate a light that will be so permeating that we will be in light for all of eternity. And this, my friends, is exactly what God wants for you and to me to do, is to influence our surroundings, to influence this world for his positive good. And the way that we do that, you might be asking, how? How do we do that? First off, we understand that it's not us. It's not what we do. We simply reflect the light of the world that is Jesus Christ. Lastly, they have different purposes. I got a flashlight up here. And you know, I've never known an individual to light a flashlight and then set it like that. I've never known that. A flashlight has no purpose when you do that. You know, if you and I were to go to an airport and if we were to watch for a while and we weren't seeing airplanes departing and coming, we'd think that there was an issue. If we went to a train station and we never saw a train leaving or a train coming, we'd think there's an issue. Well, friends, many times in our Christian circles, there are issues, and the issue is that the light is not being dispelled to influence the world around us. We're going to get to how we do that. We're going to get to the point of what struggles we have. You know, the third slide, that God, he not only wants us to reflect the light of the world, but he wants you and me to be a beacon of light in this world. How that we influence our world is we do simple things by sharing God's light. We show the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. We supply hope to the hopeless. We sustain patient perseverance in the times of trials and difficulties. We strengthen the weak. You see somebody struggling, you give them a word of encouragement, you walk alongside them. We pray for others, a word, supplicate. You pray for them. And that's how we influence our surrounding world. And you can look at every single one of those things that I've given to you in the notes, and you can look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you can see that that's exactly what he did. He prayed for people. He shared the love of God because he is love. He showed the fruit of the Spirit. He supplied the hope. And friends, many times in Christian circles, we have no hope. And yet we stand from the point of victory. We stand that Jesus is still reigning on the throne. We stand and acknowledging that it is Christ and he has risen. He has overcome and he is the victor and we are overcomers in him. We do persevere and we should strengthen the weak. But lastly, God doesn't just want us to do those things. He wants us to be that beacon of light into the world. Jesus continued on and he said, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel. And when we fail to show his love, when we fail to strengthen the weak, when we fail to provide hope, when we fail to pray for people, then we simply do what I just did with that flashlight. We simply take our light and we turn it over and we say, okay, I'm not going to let that shine. And that may sound harsh. Years ago, I shared many of the things that I'm going to share this morning with individuals. And many of them, they got angry with me. And they didn't want to hear what I'm about ready to share with you. Because sometimes we want it both ways. We want one foot in the world, and we want, you know, God's will and God's best, and you cannot have that. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow. There's a sense of sacrifice. You cannot let your light shine if your heart is divided against living for Jesus Christ. It cannot happen, friends. You cannot. A house divided will not stand. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. You cannot love two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other. And what God wants for you and for me is to be that beacon, that bright light. Back in June, I had the opportunity to go up to Michigan, South Haven. And there was a lighthouse up there, and it was built like, you know, I don't know, 150, 200 years ago. And it was, I don't know how many stories high. And I'm telling you, you know, the thoughts of how many ships off of Lake Michigan saw that beacon of light and were saved. How many boats saw that beacon of light and saw the port and came in? And then I think about people and I think at what's at stake, and eternity's at stake, friends. Not you, not me, if we have that relationship with Christ. But how selfish is that if I say I'm good and I don't really care about those that aren't in a relationship with Jesus? Then we turn ourselves over and we say, I'm not going to reflect what God wants me to reflect. Or worse yet, we look at the externals. Or worse yet, we get involved with, you know, earning a living, get involved with building a home, get involved with all these things. And I get the fact that you have to live, and I truly understand that. But there are limits. And when you cross that line and those limits encroach upon your allegiance, your devotion to Jesus, that's when what happened with that flashlight will happen with your light. Will it go out? No. Is it an issue of salvation? No. You will be saved. But is it an issue of purpose? Yes. Is it an issue of fulfillment and satisfaction? Yes. Is it an issue of walking in the fabulous, energetic, you know, relationship with Jesus of saying, this is exciting, friends? Yes, it is. You can't be excited for God and live amongst the world. You cannot do it. It's impossible. And if you want your light to shine, then you have to make a decision today. If you've already made that decision to give your life over to Jesus, then that's great. I applaud you. Then you need to make the next step and say, God, I need to make that next step and let my light so shine. With the lead team several months ago when we first started meeting, we all came up with a top list of a couple people that are outside of a relationship with God that we wanted to pray for. You see, if our hearts aren't moved, then our actions aren't going to be changed. This is not about doing, friends. This is about being. This is about who you are. The scriptures call the sons and daughters of God, which is you and me, the light. We are children of the light. And let us live as children of the light. And God just doesn't want a little bit of light. He wants us to be a beacon of light in the world. And friends, Jesus continued on and he said, you know, they don't put it under a bushel, but on a stand. All these lights are on a stand. And it gives light to the whole house. Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, the trouble with a lot of us is this. We come to Christ and we shine. We shine brightly at first. But then we don't understand exactly how to manage our lives. And so then we get caught up in working and doing things, and maybe some of us, including myself, get caught up on chasing the almighty dollar. There was a point in my life that I chased that. I am not proud to say it, I did. I literally said these words. I said, I'm going to put God on the back burner and I'm going to blow this insurance agency out. I said that. But you know what happened to my light? Got a little dimmer. And then some achievements, you know, success, no matter what, whether it's sports, athletics, whether it's academics, you name it, civic organizations being recognized, you chase achievements. And what happens? Our lights get a little dimmer. And this is not God's will. Some of us, we want. There was a time that I had a sports car. There was a time that that sports car was everything about, you know, what I wanted. We chase those things. And we begin to think that our world is all about these things. Are you getting the picture? Your light can't shine through, friends. Nor does God want your light to shine through. Or maybe we were busy making a home. You aware that Kathy and I, we've already had conversations such that what is our home going to look like? What's going to be, you know, the expectation of our home? We've already spoken of these things. You want to know why? Our heart's desire, and this is not to say that I'm better than you or not, because I've made my share of mistakes. I've chased after the money, the cars, the success, the achievements. Kathy's and my heart is to unashamedly allow our lives to shine the light of Christ in such a profound way that it does not impede the light of God. If God wants you to share hope with others, I thought about printing out a big negative sign. I've come across a couple negative Nellies in my life. And you know what? That'll dampen other people's light. It will snuff it out. We are to be the ones with the hope, with the positive nature. We are to be the ones that are standing in victory, and yet we get succumbed to the negativity of the news and the negativity of all of this world, and our light gets dampened, and it doesn't shine the way that God wants it to shine. And you know, you cannot do this. You cannot do that. Shine like these lights. What are you to do? I'm going to challenge you to get in your word, to pray, to seek God, and ask him for his wisdom that you might put things in order in your life. I'm going to challenge you. If you haven't already given your life to Christ, give your life to Jesus. If you haven't already, you know, sacrificed all those things, put them on the altar and say, God, they're yours, they're not mine. One of the most liberating things that I've ever done is when I moved out here and I had to liquidate things. You see, sometimes we think we manage stuff, and that's the lie in it, because our stuff manages us. It controls us. And if we're not willing to take that stuff and give it over to God, our lives are going to look like that camping lantern. But God wants your life and my life to look like these lights. And so we need to watch out for things of this world that will make us dim. We need to wait upon the Lord through reading of Scripture and meeting at the foot of the cross. And we need to witness through our actions. And when we commit to do all three of those, friends, here's the neat thing. Here's the blessed thing. Here's the opportunity that you and I have been given to influence our world. You see, the light is not impeded, but the cross comes through and God gets all the glory. And that is exactly what God wants for you and for me, is to magnify his name, to exalt him, to uplift his holiness to this fallen world, because this world is a mess. I don't know if you've noticed. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. And it's not going to get any better. Christians are indispensable. I want you to hear that. You and me, we are indispensable because of this, because of what we bring to the table. Now, that doesn't mean that we should get a big head and walk out of here and think, okay, yeah, I'm the best. No, that's not what I'm saying. We are indispensable because of the message that God has given to you and to me. And this is what he wants to shine through, not to glorify ourselves or to point attention to us, but to glorify him and to point people towards the cross. And that is the call, Trinity. That's the call for all of us, to magnify his name, to bring glory unto his name. Now, there may be some of you here that aren't willing to part with some of these things. And I'm not going to tell you that's okay, because it's not. I'm not going to tell you don't worry about it, because don't worry about it? What's at stake? What's at stake is the eternity of other people in this world. That's what's at stake. If you're sensing that I'm passionate about it, yes, I am. Because I'm going to tell you, and I guarantee you, every single person in this room, if you were on the outside looking in, if you weren't in a relationship with Jesus, would you want somebody to say, that's okay, I'm going to chase a house, I'm going to chase achievements, I'm going to chase relationships, I'm going to chase, you know, academia, all of these things, and I'm going to put it on the back burner? Or would you want somebody who is a believer in Jesus Christ, which is the only way to come to heaven? And I'm sorry, that's it. There is no other way. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. There aren't multiple ways to get to God. It's Christ and Christ crucified, and that is it. If you were on the outside, would you want somebody to say, that's okay, I'm going to live my life quietly. I'm going to live my life over here. Although my light is getting dim, you know what I'm going to want? And I can go back in my family, and I can tell you, individuals I never met, that I heard from my grandparents, from my mom, from my dad, of people who were praying for me, constantly, and they didn't even know me, friends. And I guarantee you, if you are in the family of God, there was somebody or somebodies in your family that prayed for you, that sought to lift you before the Lord. You know, we have children here, and I think about how often do we pray for them? We have young believers here that have been baptized. How often do we lift them before the Lord? And friends, that is letting our light shine, because kids are the time capsule that will go to a future that you or I will never go to. How often do we pray for those that aren't in the family of God? You see, God doesn't want our lives to be so cluttered. He wants to shine boldly, brightly, magnificently, to such a degree that when people see what we're going through, when people see what's going on, they look at us. And I have had family members that have gone through different things, and non-believers have come up to them and say, I don't know how you're doing it. Would you please tell me? That's the light of God coming through. And then we need to be bold. We need to be courageous enough to walk through that door. So my challenge, friends, if you're not in Christ, if you don't have a relationship, come to God.
Today is a day of salvation. There's no shame in that because God wants you. He has a special purpose for you and for me in this life. He has a special purpose for all of us, and that is to reflect his goodness, to reflect his light, to reflect all of his mercies and his love into this surrounding world. And how do we do that? We share his love. We give hope to the hopeless, strength to the weak. Sometimes it's through finances. Sometimes it's through friendships. Sometimes it's through prayer. Sometimes it's being there. And if you're sensing that, whoa, this is not about going to people and sharing the gospel, that time will come. You better be ready. Because if you're letting your light shine, people will be attracted to that. You get in his word. You put your life at the cross of Christ. And you say, God, shine brightly, shine abundantly through me, and let God do what only God can do, and let him draw those people to you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for the call that you have given to all of us to let our light shine. We bless you for that, O Lord. We praise you for that. We honor you for that. And Heavenly Father, we just look to you right now. May it not be our light that shines. May it be a reflection of your light, the light that has no end, the light of the one, the God who inhabits eternity, the light who is you, Jesus. We thank you, O Lord. May you just continue to work in all of our hearts. May we be found to be faithful and obedient and following you and in seeking your face and to reflect your goodness as a beacon into this world. And may others that are in need of you, O Christ, see the light that you have shined through us as those who look to a lighthouse saw that for direction and guidance and safety. May we do our part and allow you to shine brightly through us. We bless you, O Jesus, and we thank you, O Christ. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Jesus, holy and anointed one, my soul. Yeah.
As we close this morning, my hope and my prayer for all of us is that we truly would be agents of life, people of life, that we would truly leave other people that we come across, that God brings across our path, in a much better way than what we encountered them as. May we give away the life that Jesus has given to us. May we give away the light that he has blessed us with. May we give away the hope and the love and the peace and the joy that he has granted to you and to me, because, friends, it's eternal. It is not of this world. So as we depart, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I truly, truly, truly let our light shine before people so that God in heaven will be glorified. May we go in peace. Amen.